purpose of today's lecture is to establish how Christ, our Passover, is the fulfillment of the Passover that we've been reading about in Exodus. So take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, and let's look at verse number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 7. And let's get that. Mr. Norton, you'll have to read it nice and loud. You're a little bit away from the microphone, so let's see if you can read that verse. Now let's stop for a minute and remind ourselves, who is the author of this? Anyone?
Paul.
Paul, right? And what is it that we're reading?
A letter.
To whom?
Corinth.
The church at Corinth. Right, the church at Corinth. And so, Mr. Norton, let's go ahead and start with 1 Corinthians chapter number 5 and begin reading until you get to verse 7.
It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should not have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and ye rather mourn, and ye rather not rather mourn, that ye have done this deed, might be taken away from you. For I verily, as I absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I was present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such as one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveth the whole lump?
Okay, let's try that sentence again. A little leaven leavens. Okay.
A little leaven leaveth the whole lump.
Leaveneth
the whole lump. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Even Christ our what?
Passover.
Our Passover. So now someone asks you this question, Miles. They ask you this question. Hey, you go to a Christian school. Yeah, I go to a Christian school. And you learn the Bible. Yeah, I learn the Bible. There's this thing called the Passover. What is it? How do you respond to that question?
The Passover is celebrating the angel of death passing over and the Israelites being spared.
Okay, good. That's a decent little definition. Kyrie, you're going to add to that?
First, I would tell them the history leading up to the events to help them better understand the characters and how they're playing in the Passover.
Okay.
And then I'd tell them that.
Okay. So write down this definition, please. The Passover is... That includes you, Dylan. Yeah, you also get a pen and write that down. Okay. The Passover is a Jewish holiday... The Passover is a Jewish holiday.
God bless you.
Beginning on the 14th of Nisan, that's N-I-S-A-N, so that's a month, right? N-I-S-A-N. And commemorating the Hebrews' liberation from slavery in Egypt. All right, let's pause right there and see if anyone has any questions. Ty.
What day? When is it again?
14th. It's the 14th.
Commemorating what?
Commemorating the Hebrews' liberation from slavery in Egypt.
Can you repeat that whole thing?
Sure. The Passover is a Jewish holiday. Beginning on the 14th of Nisan, that's N-I-S-A-N, it's a month, and commemorating, remembering, right? Commemorating, the Hebrews' liberation from slavery in Egypt. And memorializing, like a memorial, you know, like a memorial to 9/11. Memorializing the day the death angel passed over every house that had the blood applied to the doorposts and lintels of the home.
What is lintels?
This is the post.
This is the lintel.
Oh, okay.
Okay, the top of the door.
How does it spell?
So again, lintel is L-I-N-T-E-L. L-I-N-T-E-L. So the lintel of the home. The doorpost and the lintel of the home that believed in the promise of salvation. That believed in the promise of salvation.
Wait, can you read the second one?
Sure, I can. Memorializing the day the death angel passed over every house that had the blood applied to the doorpost and lintels of the home.
Did any Egyptians participate in this?
I don't know. I would think the answer to that question would be yes, but I can't tell you definitively.
It said, said that there was all Egyptian houses had at least one death in them.
Yeah. Oh. But there was no house that was not a cry.
Okay. We ready?
Thank you.
So now what we're going to do for the rest of class is we're going to draw as many parallels. What's a parallel?
Connection.
Okay. Between two events. The Paschal Lamb and Christ. The Passover and the what?
Lord's Supper.
And the Lord's Supper. And we'll create a chart on the board. So what do we think that's going to be on the very top of our chart? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? What are we going to put on the very top of our chart?
Sacrifice.
Okay, sacrifice. I'll go with that. Let's put the word lamb down. Let's put the word lamb. It was a lamb or a what? Goat.
Oh, yeah.
And Jesus is called the what?
Lamb.
The lamb of?
God.
The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And who calls him that?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist does. That's right. John the Baptist does. And that's found in John chapter number 1. And we can put right next to that, a sacrifice is presented to God. Sacrifice is presented to God. And then we'll say on this side, on the Christ side, God Himself is the sacrifice. So we're comparing and contrasting Christ, the Passover, as Paul describes in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and Christ. And the Paschal Lamb, the Passover Lamb. Can anyone give me another one? Miles.
What does that word say?
Sacrifice is presented to God.
Yes, sir.
Presented to God. Okay, let's get another one. That's it? We can only come up with two? We have all these parallels and we can only come up with two?
Purity.
What's that?
Purity.
Sure. Without spot or what?
Blemish.
And what would we say about Christ?
Yeah,
without sin. Right. Without sin or iniquity. Come on, let's get your brains going. There's many more.
The blood saved them.
Right. Faith. Let's do it this way. Blood was shed. Blood was shed. And let's put it down without the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And we get that from Hebrews chapter 9. Okay, Kyrie?
I was going to say Jesus was hung on a wooden cross and the blood was most likely put on a wooden door frame.
Very good. Yep. Say a wooden door frame. And a wooden cross. Very good. Excellent, Kari. Excellent. Let's back it up a little. There's a couple of real simple ones that you're just missing over. What kind of lamb was it?
Yeah. So,
what gender?
Male.
A male. It had to be a male lamb. And Christ is the what of God?
Son
of God. Excellent. Son of God. To be a male.
Jesus had a specific day ordained. He was supposed to go up on the cross, and the lamb had to be sacrificed when he was 1 year old.
All right, Kyrie says that there was a specific day set aside when the lamb was to be killed, and the age of the lamb, 1 year old, and Christ had a specific day as well. In fact, Christ said, "It's not yet my time." Okay, good. Come on, what else? Let's go. Let's get your brains going. Maybe let's go back to Exodus 12 and let's look at the text a little bit more. Exodus 12. Maybe if looking at the text, you might get some more ideas. I'll give you one while you're looking. Look at verse number 6. Verse number 6, Exodus 12. Sal, do you have it? Exodus 12, verse 6.
Yeah.
Okay, read it, please.
And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening.
When are they going to kill it?
In the evening.
Kill? When?
In the evening. It doesn't say when the lamb was a year old. It said a year from the 14th of that month, the next year, is what it said. When they would kill it.
The 14th day of the same month.
Yes, right. But earlier it'll tell us about the lamb.
Yeah, but does it say 1 year? Lamb?
No. Where does it say 1 year?
So, that's what you were saying,
right?
That's what you were saying. It doesn't say that.
Oh, no. That's before.
All right, let's begin reading verse number 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of you, saying, this month shall be the beginning of the month, and it shall be speaking unto the congregation, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for the household. And if the household is too small, according to the number of persons, according to each man's need, shall make the count for lambs. The lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. See it?
It has to be a year old to start with, but it's not until it's a year old, right?
Right. Okay. What I wanted to draw to your attention was where it said killed in the evening. Anybody remember what hour it was where Christ said, my God, why so thou?
Around 12.
It was the ninth hour. The ninth hour, which is the evening hour. The evening hour. The ninth hour is the evening hour. So the Paschal lamb was killed on the evening, and Christ was gave up his life, breathed his last breath, somewhere close to the ninth hour, also in the evening. Let's go back to chosen. Let's see, what verse did we see where the lamb is chosen?
Number 5.
Right, it says, your lamb shall be without blemish. The firstborn you may take from the sheep. So they choose out a lamb. The family chooses a lamb. And Christ was chosen by the Father. Christ was chosen by the Father. So the family chooses the lamb. And Christ was chosen by the Father. Chosen by the Father. And just to give you a scripture reference where we get that from, Matthew 12:18, chosen by the Father. Mr. Peek?
Jesus had to be killed on a cross, and didn't the lamb have to be killed on like an altar?
It didn't have to be killed on an altar. Not that I can find. Look in the text, though. If you give me a verse, I'd love to see it. Kyrie.
Verse 8, and they shall eat. And they shall eat of the flesh, and later it says, eat unleavened bread. That would be a reference to the Last Supper.
Yeah, let's do that. Very good. That's excellent, Kyrie. Let's do unleavened bread over here. Unleavened bread. Okay. And Christ says that he is the bread of
life.
Bread of life. In fact, let me give you another one. And I'll come back to you, Justin, in just a second. Someone look up, let me find it here. Look up John 6:53. Who's got it?
I got it.
Okay.
Getting to it.
Okay, John 6:53. Now, what did they do with the lamb? They ate the lamb. You remember that? They ate the lamb. Let's look at John 6. Go ahead.
And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you.
Okay, so the Paschal lamb, when I say Paschal lamb, I'm talking about the Passover lamb, right? Was ate, physically eaten, and Jesus is symbolically eaten. And we got that from John 6, what?
53.
All right. Jesus is the bread of life. The bread of life. We get that from John 6:35. The bread of life. Let's do another one. Justin.
The lamb was sacrificed by Israelites and Jesus was sacrificed by Israelites.
Yeah, you can certainly make that parallel. That's a good one. Let's move that over here in this little block. The lamb was sacrificed by Israelites. And we're going to come over here and we're going to say that the Israelites were the ones that were screaming, what?
Kill him.
Crucify him. Right. Crucify him. Okay. Let me give you another one. Let's look at Exodus 12:46. Exodus 12:46. Who can get that text? Kyrie, you get Exodus 12:46.
In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh brought out of the house. Neither shalt thou break a bone thereof.
Neither shalt thou do what?
Break a bone.
Now let's look at John 19:36. John 19:36. Mr. Kaiser, you go there. You do practice. Do you well to get some practice turning to books of the Bible. John 19. Let's look at verse 36. John 19. So in this time, I'm going to write down. Let me come over here. I'll take that little spot right here. Not a what?
Bone broken.
Not a bone broken. Now let's look at John 19. You got it, Cole?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's hear it. Verse 36.
Yep. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken.
Did you see that? And don't miss this. What's the big deal, Pastor Sean? You're making a big deal. The man was hung on the cross. How did a man hanging on a cross die?
Suffocation,
right. You're hanging there like this, and in order to get a breath, you push yourself up and you breathe. And they would put a little platform that your feet would be on, and that would give you the ability to push up and you could get a breath. Because remember, where are your arms? Outstretched and above it. So you're hanging there. And the longer you hang there, the harder it is to get a breath. So they push up and get a breath and then collapse back down. So when the Roman soldiers had felt that the criminal had suffered enough, because remember, that's a painful death. And the longer you keep a person up there, the more painful it becomes. You ever had trouble breathing? Somebody with asthma? How scary that can be when you can't breathe?
Or get punched in the stomach.
Or get punched in the stomach, sure. That's another example. So this is what they would do, Misty. They would break the bones of the leg. Now, what did they accomplish when they broke the bones, Ty?
They couldn't put pressure on the legs.
They could not propel themselves up anymore. And so they would slowly suffocate on the cross. That was standard practice. Standard practice. That was routine business. The Roman soldiers would break the legs, probably this bone here. Just imagine how painful that would be. But they didn't do it with Christ. Instead, what did they do? Who can remember? What did they do? They pierced his side. That's right. They pierced his side. And what did John say? We just read it. He said, this was done for what reason?
A bone of him shall not be broken.
No, but he gives a reason.
What?
So it fulfills the scripture.
No, yeah, I knew that.
So read it. Read it one more time.
For these things were done, the scripture should be fulfilled. The bone of him shall not be broken.
These things were done so that the scripture would be fulfilled. What does that mean, so that the scripture would be fulfilled? When the Word of God uses that phraseology, that the scripture will be fulfilled, what's the point is it trying to make?
That it needs to be connected to the Lamb of the Passover.
That's right, it needs to be connected. That you're exactly right, that it was spoken of back here. When? Exodus 12. What verse? 46. Right? And then we get fast forward in time. 1446 is when we got the law of God. So 1500 years. Roman soldiers come up and normally break bones. But in this case, they choose not to. Why? He's already dead. What are we seeing one more time from God? His power, his sovereignty. Because they're free will being. They're Roman soldiers. Are they Christians?
No.
Are they trying to fulfill Scripture?
No.
Have they read this and they know about it? So no. They're absolutely clueless. They go out of the normal practice, do something different, and John says that was done so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Applying the blood on the lintel and the doorpost would cause the death angel to do what?
Passover.
So that means that the people in the house were saved from?
The blood of the lamb.
They were saved from?
The death angel.
They were saved from death. Put down in your notes, temporarily saved from death. Why am I saying temporarily?
Because they did die.
Because they did die, right. What are we going to put over here?
Saved from sin.
Saved from
spiritual death.
Right, eternal death. Look at these parallels. Let's do another one.
Verse 27
of where?
Exodus 12.
Let's see it. Verse 27.
Then ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed head and worship. And after, when Jesus comes back, he's going to take down.
Say he's going to do what?
He's going to smote the sinful man.
Oh, you're comparing the return of Christ to this. Excellent. I like that. Very good. Let's do another one. We did death. We did physically eaten, right? What was required? I'll come to you, Kyrie, right after this. What was required to take that blood? All right, we kill the lamb. The blood from the lamb would be put in some kind of a wooden bowl. And then they would take some hyssop and they would put it in the blood and then they would move it over and they would mark it on the doorpost. Now what was that?
It was a sign.
There's a sign there, yes. But the movement or the observance or the doing, what was it?
Wait, no.
All right, I'm not explaining myself very well. This is what Moses said. Moses said, there's a death angel coming. Now, had they ever seen a death angel?
No.
And he said, if you don't want the death angel to kill the firstborn in your house, then this is what you need to do. Sacrifice an animal, take the blood, apply it to the doorpost. When the death angel sees that blood, he'll pass over your house. What was required to do all that?
Faith.
Absolutely. So let's write down faith in Moses' promise. Faith in Moses' promise. Okay? Faith in Moses' promise. And what are we going to write down on this side?
Faith in God.
Faith
in
what?
Jesus Christ.
Right. Faith in Christ's promise. Give me an example of something that Christ promised.
Him coming back.
He would return. He'd rise from the dead.
Yeah, he'd rise from the dead.
He wouldn't flood the earth.
He will what? Christ promised that?
Oh, no.
Christ. We're talking about Christ. The incarnate Christ.
If you believe in him, you'll be saved.
Right. He said, if you believe in him, your sins will be forgiven.
Faith.
Right. It requires faith. Nate?
That they would go to heaven if they believe in him.
Right. Whosoever believes in me shall be given eternal life. That was a routine thing.
coming back.
In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd tell you. I'm coming again.
Drink of the water, you never thirst again.
Right. Drink of this water, you never thirst. Eat of this bread, you'll be satisfied. I came to give you life and life abundantly. Kyrie?
I'm asking his disciples to follow him everywhere.
Right. Required steps of faith. So we see lots of things of faith. All right, the Egyptians would be delivered from what after this event? What would they be delivered from?
Slavery.
So I'm going to come up here underneath the TV. I'm going to write down delivered.
No, they weren't.
Delivered from slavery. Delivered from slavery. They were delivered from slavery. I'm going to come over here and write down delivered from sin and death. Sin and death. So I'm comparing slavery in Egypt to bondage to sin and death. All right. Anyone have another one before I give you one?
Wait.
One question.
Yes.
God said to put the blood on the door frame, was that just the first Passover? Or when they celebrated for the years after, did they also still do that?
That's a great question, Kyrie. I don't know the answer to that question. I don't think they do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there wouldn't be a death angel coming back again.
That's right. So I think they're memorializing it through the other things, but that's a great question. You have one, Justin?
I'm not really that sure if this is correct, but if the lamb saved them from death and Jesus Christ died for us, the curtain was ripped in the temple, mm-hmm. and they were able to enter without being killed, would that also be a person?
Well, we don't have a tabernacle yet, so we kind of need a tabernacle first, because we're getting ready to get a tabernacle a little
bit. Well, they were saved from death, so.
Right, saved from death is definitely the parallel. Absolutely. Let me give you one. So they were to eat the lamb, that's the meat. What kind of bread?
Unleavened
bread. And there's one more thing. Anybody remember it?
Wine.
Nope, not wine. Not wine, because the wine represents the blood that was shed. Let's look for, let me find it on my list here. Look for bitter herbs. Let's go back to 12 and let's look for bitter herbs. Let's find the verse where it talks about bitter herbs. Bitter herbs. Everyone look together. Let's find that verse where it says bitter herbs. You looking?
It's around.
Looking for the word bitter. Bitter herbs.
What they clicked is around verse 7 and 9.
Oh,
8. There it is.
Verse 8, let's read it.
That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread with cakes by yeast.
Okay, so bitter herbs. You know why they ate bitter herbs? I'm going to write it like this. Anybody remember why they ate bitter herbs? All right, the bitter herbs was to remind them of the bitterness of slavery. They were delivered from the bitterness of slavery. Every year they eat bitter herbs. Why are we eating these nasty herbs? Like garlic. Garlic's kind of nasty.
Kind of like garlic.
To remind them of the slavery, the bitter days of being a slave. And Christ's death was exceptionally bitter. The anguish of Christ's death. It was a bitter death. He was whipped. He was beaten. He was crucified. It wasn't a humane death. It was a bitter death. Bitter herbs, bitter death.
And when he asked for something to drink, they gave him...
Yeah, they sure did. They gave him something very bitter. It was...
Vinegar.
Yeah, it was nasty. Right. Very, very nasty. Anyone else have another one? Okay, let's look at Exodus 12:48.
Shall I read?
Go ahead, Kyrie. Exodus 12:48.
And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee,
and will keep the Passover to the Lord. Let his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one with the firstborn in the land, for no circumcised person shall eat thereof.
All right, good. So you have to be circumcised.
You have to be, I'm running out of space. I'm going to put it right in here. I'm going to put it right there. You have to be circumcised. Circumcised. To participate. Now that was a physical circumcision. In the New Testament, we have a circumcision of the heart. A circumcision of the heart. In fact, I doubt many of you can remember this, but at Gad, I talked about their circumcision of the heart. We made a particular reference to the circumcision of the heart. That's a physical circumcision in the Old Testament, but now everyone to participate in the Lord's Supper must have a circumcision of the heart. And we get that from, let me find the scripture, Romans chapter number 2, verse 29. Romans 2:29 is where we talk about a circumcision of the heart.
Circumcision of the heart. Anyone else? All right, help me find in Exodus where he talks about you're going to do this every year, that this will become an annual event. Help me find where he talks about this being done on a regular basis, an annual event. It may not be in chapter 12.
I don't think so.
I'm comparing the annual event of the Passover. And then in the Lord's Supper, he says, as often as you do it. As often as you do it. As often as you do it. So the Passover was an annual event, but the Lord's Supper can be done as often as the church decides.
13:10.
13:10?
Really?
Read 13:10, please.
Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year.
From year to year. Very good. And where was the bitter herbs found? What verse was that?
8:12:8.
Excellent. And that's also where the unleavened bread is also, right?
Yes, sir.
12:8. Okay. Yes.
Could you compare the Passover to Easter?
You compare the Passover to the Easter. We're focusing primarily on the Lord's Supper. Oh. Remember, Easter is not a biblical holiday.
It's not.
Right.
Was it and they made it?
Right, it's not a biblical holiday. The early church did not annually celebrate Easter.
They didn't call it Easter.
The early church celebrated the resurrection of Christ every Sunday. We have an annual celebration of the resurrection of Christ. We celebrate, in reality, the resurrection of Christ every time we assemble together as believers. But the early church, Paul, Peter, John, Matthew, those guys did not celebrate Easter. Did not celebrate Easter. That was a post-event. And I can't remember the year that the first church celebrated Easter. You could Google it, though. It wouldn't be hard to find. All right, anyone else have another one? Have you thought about another one? Let me look on my list. Okay, I want to talk about temporary versus permanent. And I'm trying to find a spot to go to here.
Rip There's another off. Whiteboard right
here. My goodness. Thanks, Kyrie. Ah, nice. We got this entire whiteboard over here. All right. They are temporarily delivered from slavery. Temporarily delivered from slavery. Why am I saying temporarily? Ms. Perry, why am I saying temporarily?
Because it wasn't like forever.
You know, they actually will return to slavery.
Many times, actually.
Right, many times. We are permanently delivered. The Israelites, this is permanently delivered. This is temporarily delivered. This is permanently delivered. When we get to Judges, the era of the judges, we'll see that they go into slavery again and again and again in these cycles. So this was a temporary deliverance. If you're born again, you have no fear of ever being into bondage to sin and slavery of any kind ever again. It's a temporary versus a permanent event.
Yep. When they were enslaved, was it as bad as Egypt?
No, it wasn't as bad as Egypt. No, it wasn't as bad as Egypt. The event, the Passover was ordained. What do I mean by the word ordained? What do I mean by the word ordained? An ordinance. What's an ordinance?
A law.
It's a law, right. Okay? So the ordained by Moses, that's the Passover. Who is the Lord's Supper ordained by?
Jesus.
By Christ, exactly. Ordained by Christ. Let me give you another one. Where did they go? Ms. Perry, where did they go after the Passover? Where did they go for 40 years? Where did they go?
The wilderness.
The wilderness. Thank you very much, Ms. Perry. The wilderness. How long were they in there for?
40 years.
40 years. They were strangers in the wilderness. Strangers. Wandering around. Pilgrims. Exiles. In the wilderness. Turn to 1 Peter. I'll come to you, Angel, in a minute. Turn to 1 Peter. Everyone turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Quickly. 1 Peter. Find that little tiny letter. 1 Peter. Dylan,
where's the second phrase?
Here? Strangers?
No, on the right.
On here? Ordained by Christ. This is ordained by Moses. This is ordained by Christ. Moses gave him the Passover. Christ gives us the Lord's Supper. All right, 1-1. Start reading.
Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered.
To the who?
To the strangers.
And what are they? Read it now.
To the wilderness.
Scattered. Yeah, they're scattered. Today's Christians are like the Israelites in the wilderness. All right, now what are you comparing? They were anticipating after the wilderness going to where? Where they want to go?
Land.
The promised land. The pea land. The promised land.
Yep.
And we want to get to where?
Heaven.
Heaven. Exactly. They were looking forward to the promised land in the wilderness, and we are strangers on this earth looking forward to the eternal promised land. Now, let me ask you this question before the bell rings. When you see this many parallels, and this was written in Hebrew 1,500 years ago before Christ, and this is written in Greek, and there are this many parallels, what does it do for you? It does what, Angel? It strengthens your what?
Faith.
In what?
God.
And even more particular, what? Even more particular, this what?
The truth of the Bible.
The truth of the Bible. How would someone put this many parallels together? And how many authors are we dealing with? Multiple authors. Not the same. Not like a clever novelist giving you an amazing story and she writes the whole thing. This is different authors, different languages, different continents, and still coming together. You're dismissed.